Ce podcast est une production Blabla Studio.
Welcome to Track Record, the podcast that gives the floor to the DJs. I am Pauline de Saint-Sauveur, I am a journalist, but above all, I am a fan of electronic music. Through this podcast, I share beautiful encounters with artists you often hear playing in the biggest clubs or festivals, but you will rarely hear them talking that way. If you are ready to meet your favorite DJs for a one-to-one conversation, here's the time to press play. Welcome to Track Record, the podcast that gives the floor to the DJs. Today, for the fifth episode of season two, I am thrilled to welcome the Italian maestro, Sicilian DJ and producer, Mauro Di Martino, aka Musumeci.
Thank you.
Welcome, Mauro, and grazie mille for being on the mic with us today.
It's my pleasure, thank you.
You are currently in Paris for a gig tonight at Silencio for Belle Epoque Party. That is your second one in less than a year. Meaning you must have enjoyed the previous one. We will talk about it a bit later. But first, as a quick introduction, let's just say we are in a restaurant, so we'll try to have the best sound quality as possible. And I will also try to, if I stop with noise, this is normal. This is just for you to know that we're not in like quiet room. Let me try to sum up 30 years of music in 1 minute. You actually produced your first track back in 1993, so I'm happy to celebrate this anniversary with you in 2023. 30 years later. Yeah. You happy about it?
Yeah, of course. I'm very excited. Actually, I didn't realize that. I just see it now. It's wow. Yeah, 30 years. It seems yesterday.
Oh, perfect. And 30 years of music is huge. And I'm really going to try to put it in like sum up. You started the Musumeci project back in 2009. And in 2013, your own label, Engrave, with your pal Dodi Palese, and their first EP called Human Revolution. The list of artists you have signed over the years, from Adam 10 to Funkadelica, is both impressive and quite representative of your various tastes and the richness of your creations. You also own two other labels, Multinotes Recordings and Buttress Records. You released more than 10 EPs in-house and out on renowned labels such as Connaisseur with The Element in 2015, Lotus with your favorite duo Lear on Endless in 2017, and Mood Organs on Dynamic, Solomon's label, that same year. But there was a turning point with Romantico Disco in 2018, released together with Stereocalypse and Funkadelica on Innovisions. This EP stands as a manifesto for a new wave of Italian artists who tried to bring the unexpected to a wider audience, to get out of their comfort zone, to always propose something new, colorful, and surprising out of the prerequisites of the market. You have been thriving in that sound ever since, both as Musumeci and through collaborations with artists from all countries and backgrounds, with more than 30 tracks released in the past 5 years. Another record for you.
More than that, yeah.
Funnily enough, your own album, The Gemini Project, released in 2014, was named after NASA space program, which would lead me to think you are a kind of musical astronaut, always looking for new planets, new territories to explore, in order to bring them back to us in all their musical mysteries and diversities. Does this short description sound okay to you?
It sounds amazing. Thank you so much. I mean, I never tried to summarize all these years, and actually, you did it so well.
Thank you. So if you find anything missing, we can get back to it at the end of the interview. Just to get back to here now, how do you feel being back in Paris and at Silencio after that first gig that I know you enjoyed because I was there? But can you tell us a bit about it and how does it feel to be back in this place and in this town?
I was actually very looking forward to come back because I like it so much the first time. It was such a lovely party, such a lovely, you know, people, the atmosphere, the vibe, everything was really cool. Edward is a fantastic host. You guys so warm and, you know, you feel like, I feel like home.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I was like wondering if there was a chance to come back. Also, I think it was anniversary of Silencio, the first time I came, like 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah, it was also a nice booklet. I was really impressed. I was like, okay, wow. And I mean, the club itself is designed by David Lynch, which is one of my favorite filmmakers. And actually, recently, I just read one of his last book. really interesting, and I was really looking forward to come back. So now I'm here tonight. I'm so excited that I can't wait.
And it's also now you're back for your own anniversary, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all about anniversaries.
I put that to Edouard that we celebrate your 30 years tonight, actually, because last year was not.
Yeah.
So now we're 2023.
Yes.
So that's really cool.
Yes, very.
Can we go back a bit as the origins of your passion for music?
Yeah,
because
sure.
I read that you said that music helped you escape reality when you were a teenager.
Yes.
But then you got to love it so much, and now you create your own stories through production. How and when did the shift between escaping with music and inventing music operate? And was there someone or something that pushed you from one side to the other?
Actually, my story with the music is a bit... I mean, I was very little, and I still remember... I mean, I was living by the beach in my family house. We used to live there. And my parents break up. I mean, so when they split, I was a really sad kid. So 8 years old, I was already listening to Pink Floyd on the rocks, looking at the sunset, very, you know, I don't know, it maybe sounds romantic, but it was just very sad, you can imagine. But anyway, so I was just trying through music to, you know, go through that very intense moment in my life. Then after a few years, when I was in like 12 or 13, I started to do my first tapes. But just later, when I was around 17, 18, I discovered that I could make music too. Because actually I was 18, first trip to London with actually a friend who showed me for the first time how this could be made. Because I was just DJing till 18 then. And my first trip to London in this friend of mine's studio, I saw like, okay, so the music I like,
This is how it is made.
So I can make it too. I mean, it took a little bit, maybe 1 year or so, to start to, you know, then understand the process, buy the equipment, and start to do something little by little. Then I can say that the music in the beginning entered my life because I just felt to like it was something that was making me feel relieved, and it was giving me joy and making me feel better. And then at one point I understood that that was not enough, and I needed to express myself as well through the music, because I was actually a very introvert person, so very difficult for me to communicate with the people. And I find like music was a good way to talk without talking.
Yes.
You know, so it's exactly how it happened. Then, you know, people around you can be just you know, medium to go into things. And some people did. These friends of mine who showed me for the first time studio is Sam and Bali from London. Actually, I just have now a new record with him.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to release it. Maybe in my new album, because I'm working now on some new tracks in a new direction and some collaboration. And one of the collaboration is with him, which is actually
it's
the
perfect.
Guy who... Yeah. I mean, we always been in touch in these 30 years, but, you know, things sometimes happen for a reason at the right time.
Yeah, and you get back to your roots this year. So it totally makes sense, actually. You just talked about how you discovered how to create music by yourself, and you have your own way of creating it.
Yeah.
Because I hear it in your music, and I think we all do when we listen to you. You make music based, and now they have the image with the rocks, and you looking at the rocks and listening to music, which actually goes in your sound because it's based on emotions, moods, and colors.
Yeah,
and it's very particular to you. So can you tell us more about this creative process of yours?
I mean, for me, for example, I never go to the studio if I don't feel like I have anything to say. You know, I don't waste time there with the machines trying to find the sounds, because actually music comes to me the moment I feel like I have something to say. I already have in mind what to say and how to say it. So I just go in the studio and everything comes very naturally. It's very spontaneous flow.
It's like a writer, like you would write and go.
It's like you feel like, okay, I have to say this. It's like later we will talk about it, because you wanted me to ask about some tracks.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you, and one of these tracks is related to a moment that I wanted to transfer in music. So, and most of the time it's like this, it's a moment or a feeling, or emotion, or just, you know, the urgency to say something that pushed me to go in the studio. And so I never have the problem to go in the studio and try to make music, because I never do. I never try. I do it or I don't do it.
Yes. You have the urge or you don't have it.
Yes.
And then you find a studio, you go, And you look yourself
and 1 hour is done because I just have to write it. It's already
in everything is in here, yeah, right. And then you put it in the
very fast. But it's fast because I already know.
Yeah,
I
but on the contrary, it can take long to mature in your head.
Yes,
for example.
Yes. No, it can take whatever. You know, yeah. There's no limit because if I don't feel it, I don't even try because I'm gonna be there trying to make something happen, but it will not because I don't.
There is not the impulse that you talked about.
Because this is the way I approach music. I mean, to create music for me, it's like this. You know, I need to have something to say. That's why also I experiment a lot, and because it's not an experimentation. It's just that I feel to say something, and all of a sudden I want to say it in a different way, in that way. So it doesn't matter. It's not about music style. You know, even. Now, a lot of people knows me for disco, indie dance.
That's why I didn't want to put a name on it.
Yeah,
exactly
no.
Why.
It's not about that, you know.
No.
You know, if I want to say that thing in another, using another language, maybe more Afro or more, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's because it serves my needs is to express that emotion. If that emotion goes through a percussions or through an acid synth, I'm going to use it. I don't care what kind of style it is. I just need to create that feeling that I want to express. So
totally.
It's not about the genre, it's about expressing myself.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it a bit later because sometimes you also collaborate with other artists.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you have a different process maybe? It goes a bit differently. If you are the two or three of you.
But the collaboration, they are always based on something real, you know. I mean, remixes and collaboration are two different things, but in both cases, I have to feel something. I mean, collaboration, I never do collaboration on the table with people I don't know.
Yes.
If we don't have a story together or we don't have something to share, it's very difficult that we can make it. And remix, I received a lot of requests, but if I don't hear the track and I don't feel like all of this immediately that, oh, yes, I like this track, but this, I want to do it like this.
Yes.
I mean, oh, I see, I like it, but I have my own way to say this. And
I can put this mood on it.
And I immediately visualize it. If I don't see it, when I'm listening to the track, I don't see this thing, I don't do it. It doesn't matter how strong is the track, who is the artist. I don't really care about this or who is the label proposing. If the music talks to me and I feel like, oh yeah, I have something to say about this, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm going to waste my time.
Yeah.
So I don't.
No, you say no anyhow.
Yeah.
And actually, as we're working with, we are talking about your collaborations on the long run.
Mm-hmm.
You've been working with Léar for many years. He will also be a next guest at Silencio with Benny Puck and Edouard. And what did this collaboration bring to you musically and personally? Because I feel that when you started working with him, he brought something for you to think about and to your sound evolved together with him somehow.
No, actually, this collaboration means a lot to me because when I met Lorenzo more than 10 years ago now, he actually was a really big inspiration personally, first of all, as a person, as a human being. Because, you know, when I met him, I saw a Mauro that I forget to be, that I am. So, because he's 10 years younger than me. So,
okay.
You know, becoming a little bit older, it's a process where you can easily lose a lot of things. You gain other things, but some things that are very important in music, you start to be a little bit like losing the touch with them. Like, I don't know, you became a little bit more like hard to be impressed, less enthusiastic.
Yeah.
A bit more like, like you know everything, like, you know, a bit arrogant maybe. You know, some things in your life start getting older, start to happen in your life. And
you don't have a fresh look on things.
Yes, and music, it's about these strong feelings that belongs to uterus. You know, I mean, in a certain age, the push, the drives that music gives to your life is strong. Then slowly, for some reason, I was losing it. And when I met Lorenzo, this energy, I had in front of me a shining example of the energy I used to have that I lost it. And it was so evident. You know, it's like looking at your at yourself in the mirror after 10 years you don't do. All of a sudden, oh my God, you know, you feel it.
I became like this and I'm not like that anymore.
Yes, but you see it immediately. You know, seeing yourself in the mirror every day, it's, you know, you don't see the change. But if you don't look at yourself for long, and then all of a sudden you go in front of the mirror, you find yourself very changed. And that's what was happening. When I saw him, it was immediately like looking myself in the mirror and say, oh my God, what I became, you know?
I get it.
And I had in front of me the example of what I like to be. And I was like, okay, I'm going to follow this guy because I want to back this energy. He's going to be my master. I'm going to get this inspiration back from him. And that's actually what happened. So first of all, the collaboration with him was so important for me because it gave me the chance to... A new start, exactly. To reconsider so many things, to learn so many other things. And in a way, after I met him, I promised myself this will never happen again. So I'm always now trying to learn every time, all the time from everyone, just with this approach, like, okay, I don't want to get old in this way. You know?
Yeah, stuck somewhere.
I want to stay young in the meaning of learning always and trying to be with all my eyes, all my senses open to get inspiration everywhere because it's not about things around you, it's about you.
Yes.
If you close your senses, nothing can enter. If you keep them open, everybody, everything is an inspiration. So
totally.
Yeah, so this is personally part that was very important. And about the music, of course, Lorenzo is a very different person compared to me. His sense of creating the music, it's very different, but very interesting, and created also for me a challenge to, you know, deal with the completely different approach, and gave me the chance in those years when we were collaborating more closer to, you know, understand and to develop some things that I didn't knew before. I was never collaborating that much before with other people.
With someone,
so that was also interesting and gave me also this push to do more and more collaboration because I understood the value in collaboration because it's an exchange and you push yourself to do things you don't do normally.
By yourself,
So you have to break your comfort zone, and this is another way to stay young.
Totally.
To stay open and get ready for the inspiration, you know? I mean, the thing is that after I started the collaboration with him, I started to understand also more about myself, more about my, you know, needs to develop a precise language and to train myself to, how can I say, you know, it's like going to school, you know, when you start to, you wanna learn how to write. Of course, you can be, at one point, the goal is to write your own things, but to be good on doing it, you have to learn the words, learn how to write, learn certain rules.
Yes.
Then you use the rules to express yourself.
And then to break them.
So,
but
yeah.
You need to learn them first.
Yeah, first. Yeah, that's why Muzumeci Rules is my email.
Because
that's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, I need rules in life, in music, in everything, to develop my style, to develop my language, to have a way of saying things. Then once I got them, you know, we can break them. You know?
That's what happened with that sound in particular, because I thought
because also I have to say that back then I really had enough of all these melodic techno kind of sounds.
Yes.
And I was like, I was feeling like I don't want to belong to this. I want to do another way and I want to be more personal. So I started to think about what it was could represent myself also as an Italian. And you know, back in the 80s we had this Italo disco which was really big and which belonged to me because I had a lot of records back then and I was listening to that music. And I find it also very melodic. So I mean, Italian music is about melody.
Yes.
But you know, I find it, just to say, the afterlife thing is very dramatic. I like dramas, but
it's like tragedy.
Yeah, but too much.
With the chorus and all the big production.
So I was like, okay, I want to represent my Italian way of being and melodies, but less drama, more, you know.
More intimistic.
More intimistic, more colorful, more, maybe more also party, the way I was thinking about the party, because I started to go in the clubs in the late 80s, early 90s, and party were much more colorful. It was much more about joy and the, I don't know, diversity, and you know, and all of the sudden in those years, but even now, sometimes you find yourself in the club all dressed the same,
yeah,
all in black,
huge parties,
serious,
yeah,
you know, and so, okay, it's a party, right? So I was like, okay, I want to represent this in a different way, my way, and I find it disruptive, the sounds that was still melodic, but with a completely different kind of attitude from,
yes,
the beginning. Yeah. So that was the intention. And luckily, all of a sudden, it wasn't just mine. There were a lot of other people in the need for that. So they, it was just the right moment. And so many other projects started to follow or at the same time in this direction.
Around you and around that new thing.
Yeah, it was not about me, but it was the moment, you know,
yeah.
Because I believe also this is very important, time change. And I never had a problem in my life with adapting myself to the reality, because I was never the guy who was like, oh, yeah, it's not anymore like 10 years ago. Oh, it was better before.
Yes.
I mean, never been nostalgic. I was always like living my time. So even if now I'm 50, you know, I'm living the time of now. So
you're not living 10 years ago.
No, I can't live in the past. I don't want to live in the future. I live in the present, and the present is this. So I'm looking around me. So now I also feel another need to change.
Something else is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm already doing it. I already, all my new stuff coming in the next year, it will be very different. Still me, 100%, but different language. You know, just say it in a different way with a different twist, but it will be still me. And this is for me very important to be, of course, loyal to yourself with your values, with the things you want to say, the way you want to say. But never stuck
in one.
No, never being into a box,
okay,
and staying,
yeah,
there for so long, because the moment you don't feel uncomfortable anymore, you have to break it and,
yes,
go somewhere else.
Totally.
Otherwise, you get old.
Yeah, that's back to your collaboration,
yeah,
with Laurent, for
exactly,
example.
And I don't want
to. You don't want to do that anymore.
No,
so.
I don't want to get old.
Yeah.
I mean, age,
you
no problem,
call, so
but
it's
my heart, I want to
no.
be young till 90.
No, you're totally understandable. But
yeah,
then how would you call, because people said Italo Disco.
Yeah.
People said this EP is called Romantico Disco. So for me, it was like, okay, I keep that. And I ask tomorrow what he thinks about that. How would you call that kind of movement that you created and that, you know, how would you call it? You, because I'm not going to put a word on something you did.
For me personally, especially that disco, Romantico Disco, I'll tell you why we put that name. And we talked about this name with Luca, with Funkadelica together. And because, you know, we wanted to represent a road in the middle between the new romantic and the Italo disco, because there are two different messages, two different kind of music. I mean, the new romantic, new wave, and Italo disco, they were very different sounds. But we are taking in all of these things together, and we are just playing around and put them
with
together.
With different elements, yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, what we are doing is just putting our knowledge of those days and the music of that time and put all the elements together like a game, you know, it's like doing a puzzle with the, and in the end, when we put all the pieces in place, we were looking at it like, yeah, it looks like a romantical disco. I mean, it has the indie disco sound, but it's also new romantic. There is also this melodic. So we thought it was a nice way to call it as a hybrid, you know? But we didn't invent anything. We tried just to put together these influences from different kind of music of the 80s we were listening to. And all of a sudden, when we put all the pieces of the puzzle together, it was sounding exactly like a romantical disco. We couldn't name it different. But it's nothing new. It's nothing that I can call it like that. But the new is the approach.
Yes.
The approach.
And the combination of.
The combination and the approach to look at the things this way. Because, you know, it's very difficult to mix, combine things together. It's really, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, pollution and contamination. You know, pollution is something bad.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't put things together thinking like, you know, it's like the experiment they did in the 80s with world music, no? World music was a big, huge experiment, and it was very dangerous because you were putting together things like, oh my God, you're putting congas in there, and then, are you sure? You know,
yes.
It could be very dangerous, sleeping territory, you know? But in the end, with the approach is the same. And I still want to do this. I'm trying to do the same in every production I do. I try always to do something you cannot put the name on it, because it's a combination of things. Put them together in my way. It's my view. Maybe I'm not pretending is good, but I'm always using the same idea. So am I producing house, disco, or techno? It's never something you can say, oh, this is a house music.
That genre,
No. It's, but it's Musumeci way. This is what I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. Again, the rules. Yeah, and the how rules. To break them.
Exactly. Yes.
Again. Also a record label manager.
Yeah.
And so you manage artists, you produce with other artists.
Yes.
And at some point, how do you see the evolution of the industry now? Looking at all the pollution and not pollution that is going on.
No, I think
where do you think we're going according to what you're working on right now?
I think that we are going into a more and more melting pot of music together. I mean, the electronic music is now very mature. And it's time for electronic music to be open to everything, everything. It does. I mean, now electronic music can be combined with the everything. You know, I mean, we have seen in the past electronic music going a little bit jazzy, a little bit disco, a little bit funk, a little, but still with, connected with black music. You know, but it's time now to open it to really to everything. I mean, in England there were a lot of experience. You know, drum and bass, big beat, speed garage, everything is. You know, all these things have been experiments that have grown. They gave the chance to electronic music to grow. But now, it's very popish also. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, pop music is electronic.
Yes.
You know, and now. I mean, electronic music is ready to be super popular, but also to represent all of us in all our in all the shades possible. So you can have folk music, electronic music. You can have other country music in electronic. You know, it's ready. The future is, I see it electronic and in every shades, and everything is possible. And we are in times where people are ready to taking it, because you know when I was 18. If you was listening to hip hop, and you was listening to rock or
heavy metal, you were not friends.
No friends. No conversation.
No, and it's really interesting what you said, Mauro, because we had two guests before in season two as well. We had Mowgli to start the season, and then we had Roman Keane, who are actually 30 or a bit less than 30, and both of them told me now the inspiration for me to make electronic music is completely out of it. One is rock and roll, the other one is pop music, they don't listen to electronic music to make it. They listen to so many other things. But when they produce electronic
music. But this is exactly who I am. But I matured it in 30 years. Yeah. People now, they just born with this knowledge already. I mean, they are like set it like this. It's like my kid is 8 years old and he thinks everything he can touch it and he's like gonna open pop-up windows, you know. He even tried to, you know, sweep pages on a book, like moving it like this. I mean, he is digital native.
Yes.
You know? So, I mean, for me, it was a process to understand.
For them, it's a given.
Yeah. So, but I see the difference now, and I'm very happy because this finally is what music is for. It's for unity. It's not to divide or to have, you know, supporter of this or that. Music is for everyone. It's a happiness. It's for sharing. And the fact we are reaching this maturity in music, it's very important. And I see a very bright future in this direction.
And you are pushing your artists in that way, actually?
I never push anyone.
Okay.
I let the artist express themselves. If the artist express something that I believe it's worth it to present, I try to sign it on our label.
Okay.
Most of the time we sign people we know, because I also believe that you don't just sign a piece of music, you sign the artist.
So it's
important in person.
As you said about Lorenzo earlier.
It's important to know who these people are. Because, you know, unfortunately also there is this, not everything is good, not everything is bad, but you have to see everything. You have to open yourself and understand. I mean, the fact that the music industry developed this much, that now this is a proper job and people see money opportunity also, this brings also in the market people who are interested only in that.
Yes.
And no problem, everyone with this choice, but this is not mine. So I'm not interested in artists who are just here because of the fame or the
for
money,
the job,
for the job,
and not for the art.
No,
which
exactly,
is different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I don't see that, I'm not gonna invest in the music, even if the track is outstanding, amazing. But you know, it's not about that. It's not about selling the records. It's about just presenting to people, to the world, something you believe has something inside that comes from the art of the artist.
Yes.
So if I feel that, okay. That's the way I operate. We choose the music in our label, and this is how I see the future, belonging to people who love music.
We agree. Actually, talking about your spirit and the way you put things into songs, mm-hmm. I would like to talk about one song that you mentioned in a very like old interview, mm-hmm. but I think it shows something of you as well. Mm-hmm. It's a funny. That
yes.
you released in 2017.
Yes, yes.
And for you, it represents something important in terms of, you told me, a spiritual belief and evolution
yes,
at yeah. that point,
yeah.
because now we're 2023. So,
yeah.
But at that point, it was something also that showed
yeah, yeah.
the heart you put into that. Was
It was the end of experience, because I practiced Buddhism for more than 15 years. And there was one principle that really changed my view in life and showed me how it was not productive and completely wrong to complain about things around me that they were not going the way I want. And when I discovered this word funi, which was meaning in the Buddhism I was practicing, funi literally means two but not two, and it's talking about the relationship between it's expressing the relationship between yourself and your environment. They are connected, and the simultaneously existence of cause and effect. So the moment you determine the cause in your life, effect is already there. You don't have to wait 30 years or next life, it's there. And for me, this was a game changer, because all of the time I was like, oh, why my life is not going there? Why this is not like this? Why always complaining? The moment I understood that me and the effect of my action and my life and my environment were connected, and I couldn't have and change my life.
You could be your game changer.
Yeah, with a different
yeah.
behavior. And this changed completely all my life, in everything, in relationship with people, in my dreams, in my way of expressing myself. So at one point I felt like I wanted to make a track where to, in a way, pay a tribute to this concept that was so important in my life. And I tried to make the track, you know, with this kind of attitude of gratitude for knowing this. And also in terms of sounds, putting together some things that can sound like two, but they're not two.
They're not.
Yeah, okay, so this was like...
In the way. Oh,
yeah.
It's really interesting.
It's my own story.
Yeah.
Maybe I can only see it by looking at the track. That's why I was not sure about was something interesting for the people, because sometimes the artist does something and other people don't see it, and it's not important. It's okay. I'm sure when I'm watching, I don't know, a Basquiat painting, I don't know, I'm sure I'm not getting what he wants to say, or maybe I'm seeing my story or my things, and this doesn't give the less important to
no,
the
it's
opera.
Not about the audience. It was actually about your evolution
yeah,
as an
yes,
artist.
Yes, yes. But this
and
is
as
very
you were
great.
At that point, yeah. and thank you so much for sharing it with us. But anyone who hears the track, I will put it in the notes. But so many people will hear it differently, but at least we knew just how you made
yeah,
it. And it's
but
too
in the end, it's important what gives to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's because this is for me very important. When I understood when you finish, when you after you compose the music, and the music is out of you, it doesn't belong to you anymore.
No.
It's not yours. It goes wherever he wants, he meets other people, and other people connect to them with the music, and they have their life, their story, tells something else, and that's very important, and this is the reason of the music.
Of course, but in your case, what is very, special to your art, is that you have this, as you explained, creative process that is linked to very personal things.
Yeah.
So I would not take the approach of saying, oh, did you put the drum first? Or then did you put the kick? Because I think we would lose this interview completely.
No, no. It's
so that's why I'm trying to ask you like a bit stories about like kind of, to me, tracks that are really pivotal in your artist path. Just to check like, oh, okay, there he was at this point, and then he just went here. It's like the path you made.
No, it's very interesting also. The technique, I explained it I did a masterclass for this technique side of the job. But, you know, it's very hard to explain when your process is, I never think like, where am I going to start from? Because it's like, I have the whole track in my head. So I can't start from anywhere because I know exactly everything how it should be and which sounds I need. I need that drum, that particular snare, that particular kit. I need that synth, not another one. I know exactly. So it's also very difficult to talk about music this way because for other people, it's like, but how do you find the sound? I already know the sound. I'm not looking for the sound.
But people can identify to your story while they cannot maybe identify to the composition process.
But because the thing is that before you start to compose music, there is another process. You need to learn the language. You need to learn the machine. You need to learn the sounds. You need to learn how this music is done. So you need to know the matter before you start. That's how I don't think, where am I starting from? Because I already know, because for 25 years I was there listening to all the sounds, and now it takes for me 2 minutes to do a pattern of drums with that sound because I know where to look.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you need 3 months just to find the kick drum.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it is.
I get it. Yeah. As to go in more a little stories of yours, I picked up 3 tracks because I know that you really much like 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3rd one, I know you played it the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Edouard likes one. I'm not going to say which is which.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Maro, would you like to choose 2 tracks to talk to me about between Palm Storm in 2020, Teach Wrong for Emmanuel Jalil in 2019, and Where Are You also in 2019?
Actually, all the songs are very nice. I have a very nice story. Palm Storm is one of the tracks I told you before that starts from an experience. So I was in Turkey and Istanbul is a very magical place and it's full of bridge that connect the Asian with the Europe.
Yeah, with 2 sides of the Bosphorus.
Yeah. I mean, and there are 2 continents just, you know, that you go from one to another one through this bridge. So it was like 6 in the morning, I was coming back from the club, going to the hotel in the car and just passing the bridge. It was this shiny light, the Bosphorus magic, and I was like, and I had the vision of the sounds of all this trip. So I focused, I just closed my eyes and I was just hearing the sounds of all this. Then when I went back home, I was like, for days, I was like, when am I going to go back to the studio? Because I have something to write. You know?
I have something to say. Yeah, I have to
I know what I have to do. I mean, I have this feeling that it needs to be transferred in music. And that's the story of the song. And it's very particular also the process in signing or in a vision this track, because that track is not an Innovation track. I mean, terms of sounds, who could say that? I was never thinking about it. So I just made the track and I leave it there. Then I just send it to Christian because I always send music to him. And he started to play. And once I was in Naples and he talked to me, what do you think? Should we sign it or Innovation? I was like, yeah, okay. But I never thought about it, you know? And that's what I'm saying it because it connects with what I was saying before. You never think when you're doing music what the music is for.
Yeah, for which label?
You just do it because you have to. Then music goes on his legs everywhere it wants.
Yeah, but Innovations, what is interesting in your story is that Innovations also trusted you with Romantico Disco as well. So it's like, you know, it's kind of a pass. Yes. You meet them and they just feel that it's good for them at that moment.
The fact that they pick the change.
Out of the box one.
Yes. I don't want to say more, but because this probably will be more.
Okay.
So the Teach Wrong story is very...
Edouard, hello.
Yeah, ciao, Edouard. But
plays it so, almost every time.
He gave me the chance to talk about something special because the story of this track, this is a remix I did.
Yes.
And this is a very strange story because I normally never do that. But I received the promo from Mo Black with this song. And I was listening to the song, I was like, wow, it's amazing. I immediately knew, and so I could do a great remix. I wanted to do it because I was like, oh, I know how to do this. So I wrote myself.
You wrote to
I wrote to Mimmo Falcone from Mo Black, and I said, Mimmo, listen, I know it's very unusual, but you know, if you ever look for a remix for this track, you know, I propose
I'll be song. Happy to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he replied to me immediately, like, oh, you know, we just made the remix, so the release is going to be next week. So, I mean, that's why you received the promo. So, I mean, thank you very much, but no. Then the day after, I received another email. You know what? Just give it a try. Here is the stems. So I did immediately two versions, two, because I had in mind.
From the start, when you listen, you're like, okay, I want to go here and here.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes, because there was... in the original mix, there was this kind of nice guitar, very funky, and it was reminding me this like salsa sound, like Eastern House, and I actually even pick up the bass line from Eastern House, and I put it in this mix, and I just wrote some brass, and I was like very nice, I say like, I love it, and I call it Body and Soul mix, because also remind me of the sound of New York, of François Kevorkian, Joe Clausel, what they were doing there, and I was like, okay, then it really... Then I went into the main mix I was waiting for from the beginning. I said, okay, I see here I really like a kind of bassline like Chase, like, you know, 70s with these vocals, afro in the middle, yeah. It's gonna rock. Yeah. So I made it, and I sent the remix to Mimmo, and I sent it also to Ann, to Dixon, to everyone, okay. And everybody started to play. So Mimmo said to me, okay, I mean, what do you want to do with this? Can we release it? I said, yes, but we release it only with one rule, because Emmanuel Jarre, I knew from his story that he was a baby soldier in Sudan, and he has actually kind of organization taking yeah. care of baby soldiers.
Yes.
So just rehab of the kids and everything. So I just decide to tell Mimmo, I said, okay, we release these remixes, but all the profit of the remix, I want to go
to this organization.
Yes. This is my condition. And he said, okay, let's do like this. So we release them. And after a few weeks, we had the license from Sony Music in England with Pete Tong show with a big interest on the track. He licensed it for thousands and thousands of pounds. And I was very happy because we were contributing to something, I hope, nice. I
yes.
know, but, you know. And I like to think that also the spirit gave wings to the tracks.
Yes.
To, you know,
yeah, it
to,
gave it the good impulse to yeah, go into yeah, the world yes, in yes, a good
yes,
spirit.
Yes.
And that's also made the success of the track in a way.
Yeah, for me yeah. especially. For yeah. me especially. But this is the story of myself also in choosing my artist name. Everything for me is important. The why you do things.
Yes.
You know, the reason why you do things, it's leading and giving the direction to all the rest, in my opinion.
Yeah, where it comes from and not where you yeah, aim to
yes,
put them.
Yes.
That's
yes.
exactly what we were saying yes, since yes. the beginning.
And Where Are You? It's a track with Sisio.
Yeah.
And Sisio, we used to have before another project called Human Machine, and it was me, Sisio, Simone, and Paolo, other guys. Then at one point, after I think three single, very successful, we decide to not do it anymore because everyone had his own job and
yeah.
they didn't have the time to, you know, also follow this project, to go in the studio and also to perform. It was a bit like, so Sisio was the only one more interested to do something as also DJing.
Following because, that.
Yes, because also DJs from long time. Almost same of me. And then when I was doing my album Arcade, I did two collaboration on that album, one with Funkadelic and
yes.
one with him. And this track was just born from, he sent me some loops, and I was like, the thing I like so much from Sisio is his sense of creating these strange layers and patterns that you, if you listen to them alone,
they have no sense.
No sense. But then when they put it together, it's like,
wow. Yeah.
But this guy has a vision. So, you know,
it's kind of a labyrinth.
Yes,
it's like what's
yes,
on the,
yes,
it's
yes.
an arcade, but the labyrinth.
That's what I liked from collaborating with him, because he showed me a very personal way of building the melodies. The way he combined the sounds together and he create the melody is really something unique. I don't find it anywhere else. And so it was a big inspiration for me. And now we also have a new track.
It's cool. Part,
I have actually 12 new tracks.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you're really preparing an album now.
Yeah, kind of. I'm trying. Let's see. But, you know, first of all, I have to finish the world tracks. Then I will decide what to do. Okay. This is part of the future project, but not so future.
Yeah, but also you have also a collaboration with this show again.
Yes.
That is.
Yes,
yes. I'm really looking forward to listen to that one. And actually, you managed to be on tour, you preparing your album, and you have also a family life.
Yeah.
So how do you manage to do the three? And at some point, how can the album, when do you think it's going to be ready then? Because you're touring a lot.
The album will be ready, I think, in September, because September is when I'm going to have another 3-4 days in the studio. As I told you, I'm very fast.
Yes.
So basically, to me, producing, it's really something that I do. I don't know, if I have to do a remix, I just go on a studio, one session, 2 hours, it's finished.
Okay.
Even with the new tracks, because I'm not sitting there trying to do
it. No, it's the inception that is longer, I mean, not
during,
the making.
During traveling, during trips, I see something, I feel something. Then I keep this feeling with me, let it rise till the moment I'm like, I have to put it out. So I go in the studio and I do it immediately. So this is why I can do all these things. I mean, I do more than 30 between remixes and tracks per year, and I do more than 120 gigs in a year.
120.
So it looks like
huge.
It looks like, where did you find the time?
Yeah.
Did you have a ghost producer? No, I'm just very fast.
Yeah,
I just go there. I mean, it's enough for me 2 days a week, one day in the studio to do one or two tracks. Sometimes I even do two or three in one day.
Yeah.
So, and of course, I don't do this, must be said, because maybe it would sound insane if I don't say it. All the mix, I'm not doing the mix of my tracks.
Okay.
I'm not interested in it. I know how to do it, but I enjoy to compose the music when it's about make it sound a little like this, all EQ, blah, blah, blah. Not for me.
No, you have someone you trust.
Yeah, yes.
And
I have an engineer working for me, which I send him all the project and I say, okay, make
and
it
he
sound.
Knows you. And
let him sound good. For
yeah.
The, you know. But the composition for me, it's very, you know, fast and immediately get what I want.
And as for touring, I had a question since Pawn Storm that I wanted to ask you.
Uh-huh.
As it was inspired by Istanbul, did you have a chance to play Pawn Storm in Istanbul?
Many times.
Oh, great.
Times, yes.
And it must have been so, like, just coming of, like, a very beautiful conclusion to the track.
It's a very special track because it's connected to a very special moment of my life and very intense emotion I felt. And this track is one of my favorite. Maybe it's my favorite.
Yeah. That's why I wanted just to connect with the touring and the DJ set, because then you come back to where you were inspired by the track and you have the occasion to play it for people who live there and just the audience, and that must be really
for a person who inspired them.
Hopefully you will have a track inspired by Paris.
I'm sure.
Hopefully. So what do you listen, Mauro, when it's not music? What do you listen to?
The most exciting things to listen is the radio, because
you
never know what is going to happen.
Yeah, true.
Good radio,
because
I'm not talking, I mean, in Italy we have a couple of radio stations I really like, especially in the night, because I'm very often traveling with the car to the airport. It's a long journey, and most of the time I do it during the night or early morning. It's a really good selection, and you have no idea how many tracks I shazam, like this album, what is this, you know, and I'm like, wow. And then I sometimes discover even a very obvious track.
But that you forgot about.
That I never pay attention to a certain particular things. For example, just a few days ago, I was listening to The Way You Make Me Feel from Michael Jackson.
Yes.
I never realized the bass line on that track. I was like, wow. that's crazy, you know. I mean, I always listen to that. I know that track as, you know, I listen millions of times. But I never noticed a particular thing in this bass line. And I just... take note, like, this is something I have to check lately when I'll be in the studio. I want to listen to this track I want to open the scene The Desire. I know they used to do that, and I want to see what's going on in there because it's really interesting.
Yeah, and actually, so your car to the airport is kind of your secret laboratory where you can just relax, listen to stuff like randomly and just see what's
going on. I like to listen music randomly too. I mean, like random proposals or from DJs that are eclectic and they can drop things you would never expect. I really like it because it's like, it gives you the sparks. It
breaks the rules again.
It breaks the rules. Yes,
a little bit.
Yes.
And so to end on a reverb note, if we're like with the everything that's going on with the projects, are we still on, do you have anything else on going on this summer as for tour and as for tracks release?
Tracks release, yes. I have several actually. I think 5 or 6 releases. I mean, all remixes.
Okay.
I have a really nice remix for Samet Gunal. It's a Turkish guy. It's going to be released.
Turkey. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, Turkey is big
special
connection. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have this remix for him. It's going to be released on Dessert, which is a Berlin label from Tom Peters. This very nice guy. I really like him. He's working also for Beatport. But aside that, he has an amazing smile and the energy he has. I really love it. And that's actually why I accepted already. This is the second remix I do for them. And I played for his party in About Blank in Berlin for 2 or 3 times now. And I'm playing on 8th of August again. And the main reason I do all this is because I like
him. You like him?
Yeah.
The person.
The energy is fantastic. You know, so for me, this is the first thing, you know, I'm very easy to be seduced by these things. I'm not impressed about how good you are. I mean, I'm impressed about the energy. If I feel that this kind of, you know, this energy, So, yes, I have this remix. Then I have another remix for Dino Lenny. And it's funny because that's actually another remix I did because I asked for. Because I love this original mix and I just asked the part just to do it for myself. Then now we are releasing it, but you know.
No, it's funny because we mentioned it with Damon G, when he was on the podcast the last season, that he also worked with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was also a very nice story about that.
I know Dino from more than 30 years because we were both DJing in Malta back in 1993.
Wow. So when are you again? Okay, anniversary track with him.
Yeah, and we both have very long hair. Now both of us no hair
anymore. Yeah. We'll just find back the pictures, but I'm not sure we can find them. It's like archived somewhere.
No, I mean, back then, I mean, no picture of me for sure, but I have long hair like this.
No, I was thinking for the, you know, for like the front.
Okay.
Just to find it back as a joke, but
I have something else right now. I don't remember because there.
You have too many.
I have right. I mean, in 2 weeks there's gonna be also these remixes for Colosio and Luke Garcia. Colosio is a Mexican DJ, and I'm going to Mexico very often now, and I'm very interested about what is happening there. Mexican scene is really.
As touring as well, no? When you go
on the last year I went 10 times to Mexico.
Wow, okay.
Like every month. And now I'm going in 2 weeks. So I was very often there and I get the chance to, you know a lot of Mexican DJs to hear their sound. It's very interesting. They have a very active and hectic scene.
Yeah, it's very energetic. So many things are going on there.
So
you're not the first artist to tell me that, actually.
So now we are releasing this track from Colosio and Luke Garcia on Engrave. We just released the originals, and in 2 weeks they're going to be out my remixes. I did 2 versions. One is more drummy, and the other one, I call the wave mix. I mean, I shouldn't say this, but you know, it's funny because when I did this remix, the vocals on this song, they just remind me the new wave, a bit
that
of
sound,
Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
So by joke,
order.
So by joke, I just put, but nobody will notice. I promise, because even myself, when I listen to it, I cannot name it now.
Yeah,
I forget it. But the whole structure of the song is Strange Love by the Depeche Mode. You listen to the track, you will never say Strange Love.
Okay.
It's impossible. But I promise you,
we'll put
the
it up.
Bass line and the chords and the pads, everything is Strange Love.
That's
it was
crazy.
One of my favorite songs, and when I heard that vocal, I was like, they came to me immediately. I said, okay, Strange Love, okay. But it's much faster. Nobody will never say anything, notice. I'm replaying everything. But really, if you slow
That's
it down
crazy.
30 BPM, it's strange, but very hard to find. I never say it before, I just wrote.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I listened to it even twice more and tried to tip it down. And I'll put the link to the track because it will be released, I think, before the episode. So I put the link of the track in the notes so people can listen to it and see how, you know, they can listen to it and see if it's in there or not. And to end on a reverb note, actually reverb now, is there a question that you would like to ask me or one you think I forgot during the interview?
No, nothing. You did a very well work. Very good job.
But you were a super good guest and you say you don't like talking much. So thank you so much for giving
you
the time.
Thank you. I was so impressed also about everything you did, the knowledge you showed about what I'm doing. And I'm such an honor. I don't take it for granted. That's, for me, it's a miracle when someone knows something about what I'm doing. I feel like, wow, thank you very much.
Thank you. And I listened with my heart also, none of that. So I had the same approach as you. So I'm pretty sure we got a good, you know.
I know. I remember interview. From the first time we met last time. I knew that it was going to happen.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. And for it was the fifth episode of Track Record of season 2. We wish you a wonderful time tonight. And we're looking forward to all the new releases of yours. Okay. Thank you so much, Mauro.
Grazie. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to Track Record. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Do not hesitate to hear some more by subscribing to the podcast and to show you liked it by giving us 5 stars on your favorite platform. You can also follow us on Instagram @trackrecorddj. Let's meet again soon.